Applying UDL in Discussion and Lab Sections, written by Brianne McDonough. Introduction. Universal Design for Learning is a teaching philosophy that calls for intentional design of courses and course materials to be accessible to as many students as possible. In practice, we will never be able to anticipate the needs of all students, but educators can work to identify barriers to learning and implement changes on whatever scale is possible. This article is written for graduate student teaching fellows leading lab and/or discussion sections, but is applicable for all instructors who are looking for ways to apply UDL principles. While graduate teaching fellows generally have limited input into the overall design of the course, labs and discussion sections are often spaces where, because of smaller class sizes, graduate teaching fellows may have more opportunities to engage students in active learning and have individualized communication about the material. In this way, lab and discussion sections already demonstrate some aspects of UDL and are spaces that can be greatly improved with UDL principles. Teaching fellows are a critical component of these spaces and are excellent resources for students. Furthermore, we have often learned the material more recently and can recall which concepts we struggled with and how we overcame them. This article isn't a checklist of everything that needs to be done, but a set of suggestions for places to start making improvements. For more information on the guiding principles of UDL, check out the other CTL articles on UDL or review the CAST UDL guidelines. The guidelines are a set of suggestions known as checkpoints for implementing UDL. Throughout this article, when a suggestion is related to a UDL guideline, we will name and link to the relevant checkpoint in the text of the article. These links contain specific suggestions for implementing the checkpoints. Before lab or discussion. This part of the article will describe steps that can be taken before a lab or discussion section, which we will refer to as section throughout. For students to get the most out of these sessions, the planned activities should be closely aligned with the goals for the rest of the course. Before each activity, it's best to meet with the course's lead instructor and identify the learning objectives, which are measurable student outcomes, for the activity and any new content that will need to be taught before they complete the activity. Here are some suggested questions to ask the lead instructor. 1. What are the learning objectives for this activity? How will these objectives relate to what is being taught in class? 2. What should students be able to know, do, or value after this activity? 3. Which course concepts related to this activity do students seem to struggle the most with? What related questions on homeworks or exams do students typically have challenges with? 4. What information do the students already have? What needs to be taught before the activity can begin? And 5. Are there aspects of this specific activity that students are frequently confused by? Can we edit or alter the activity to reduce confusion and promote understanding? For example, if students typically miss an important step in a lab, update the manual to bold or italicize the part they miss or make it a separate paragraph. It may also help to have a discussion with teaching fellows who have run the activity with students before. They may be able to point to areas where the activity can be improved before being presented to students. UDL asks that we make classroom material as accessible as possible to meet the diverse needs of students. The guidelines consist of three main areas: multiple means of representation, multiple means of action and expression, and multiple means of engagement. Using these principles, we can review the activity and any associated manuals or handouts. While improving manuals or handouts is extra work, doing so can save time, confusion, and frustration both during session and during grading. Consider how long it may take to mark down many students for the same common misunderstanding that could be addressed beforehand. For more information about making accessible materials, check out the other resources on the CTL's UDL webpage. Here are some suggestions for reviewing activities under each area of the UDL guidelines. Accessibility with multiple means of representation. 1. Identify confusing symbols, equations, and vocabulary and clarify their meaning, either in the materials or before beginning the activity. See UDL checkpoints 2.1 and 2.3. 2. Are there images which need alternative text? Are materials colorblind friendly? Can any text be read by screen readers, or are there other audio alternatives? See UDL checkpoints 1.2 and 1.3. Accessibility with multiple means of action and expression. 1. How accessible is the activity to those with mobility limitations? Can the activity be modified for everyone, or is there at least a role for those with limited mobility? See UDL checkpoint 4.1. 2. Do activities that utilize technology work well with assistive technologies, like alternative keyboards? See UDL checkpoint 4.2. Contact BU's Digital Learning and Innovation Office for help with integrating assistive technologies. 3. How are students expected to demonstrate that they have met the learning outcomes for the activity? Are there different options that can be made available? Accessibility with multiple means of engagement. 1. Does the activity account for different lived experiences and include diverse perspectives? See UDL checkpoints 7.2 and 7.3. 2. Has the course material reinforced contributions to the field made by people with marginalized identities that your students may share? If not, are there relevant examples that you can share? During section, when introducing the activity, emphasize the learning objectives and how the activity will help students achieve the broader goals of the course, based on your conversation with the lead instructor. See checkpoints 7.2 and 8.1. Students will be more interested in the activity if they know how it will be relevant and helpful to their learning. It also helps students to connect the material to what is being learned in other components of the course. Be sure to introduce any new material required for the activity that has not been covered in the course yet. If the lead instructor feels students should have all the relevant information, check in with the students about how well they feel they understand the concepts in a non-judgmental way. Clarify or reinforce confusing concepts necessary for the activity. This is also a great time to discuss the people who have made contributions to the field, particularly those who may share marginalized identities with the students. Another way to promote engagement and interest in students is to foster collaboration and classroom community. See UDL checkpoint 8.3. Here are some ways to accomplish this. 1. On the first day, have students work together to create the rules and expectations for teamwork and participation. 2. Support and encourage peer interaction. For example, when a student asks a question, check in with their group before answering. Can another student answer? Ask a student to summarize what another student has said, or to explain or elaborate. Ask if other students agree or disagree with what a student has said. 3. Engage students in discussions about the course and material in general. What is working? What isn't? Where can I improve? What feedback can I pass on anonymously to the lead instructor? 4. For more on building classroom communities, you can view a BU Lightning Talk called Fostering Classroom Community. If possible, keep a copy of the handout or manual or a notepad where you can write down any observations you make about how students approach the activity. Things to make note of include any questions or prompts that are causing confusion, any typos or missing information, how long your introduction is, and how long they spend on each part of the activity. After section, perfection is impossible. Instead, adopt a mindset of continuous improvement with incremental changes. To facilitate this, reflect on how the activity went immediately or as soon as possible after leaving the session. Refer to or make the notes described previously. Consider reflecting on these questions. 1. Did students understand the material and achieve the goals and learning objectives? 2. Were there any students who struggled to access the material or activity? Can you identify the barriers they encountered? 3. Based on earlier discussions with the lead instructor, is there a disconnect between what concepts instructors think students understand and what they actually understand? After this reflection, provide feedback to the lead instructor. The teaching fellow can offer professors invaluable feedback when we are able to interact more directly with the students. Here are some examples of feedback to give instructors. Activity specific. What worked well? What didn't? Were there accessibility issues? How can the activity be improved for next time? Material specific. What concepts are most confusing to the students? What could be emphasized or reinforced in the larger class gathering? Are you encountering any common misconceptions? Course specific. Students will often share, either with you or in discussion with other students, where they are encountering difficulty. Are students able to access and understand the homework? Do they feel prepared for an upcoming test? Are they able to access and understand communications from the instructor or teaching fellow? See UDL Checkpoint 5.1. Often a teaching fellowship will include grading, either of the lab or discussion activity or other coursework. UDL asks us to provide mastery-oriented feedback. See UDL Checkpoint 8.4. Feedback to students should be timely and specific, allowing students to apply the feedback to their current work. Feedback should emphasize effort, improvement, and achieving a standard that is communicated to the student. Ideally, we would be able to provide detailed feedback to every student, but this can be time-consuming in a large course. Before grading, enhance students' ability to monitor their own progress by providing formative feedback as part of the learning process. See UDL Checkpoint 6.4 for what this might look like. Formative feedback gives students the opportunity to learn and make changes while completing the assignment. While grading, make note of any common errors or misunderstandings. Instead of writing out a detailed correction on each paper, address the error or misunderstanding in the next session, or have the lead instructor address the issue in class. Conclusions. The goal of implementing UDL in an established class is not to get it perfect on the first try, but to work on making gradual improvements toward a learning experience that works for every student. Start working on implementing just one or two suggestions here or from the guidelines, whatever feels accessible for you. Through this process of continuous improvement, we become better teachers and demonstrate to our students that we care about their learning. Don't be afraid to ask students for feedback and involve them in the process of improvements, asking them what is and isn't working. This can happen organically through conversations, or you can have them complete an anonymous feedback survey. Implementing these suggestions can take more of your time, but often doing so reduces frustration and confusion for both teacher and student. At its core, we are asked to try and make our courses accessible to people who may otherwise need accommodations or be unable to participate. However, practitioners of UDL often find that many students who otherwise would not request accommodations are able to better access the course material. By making gradual improvements, we are working toward creating an academic environment that works better for everyone. The end of the written article contains links with more general guidance for running a lab or discussion section.